Well, I guess I should enjoy the last time I get to really be a guest, right? I mean, I certainly am not expecting a round of applause every Sunday morning as I get up to preach. You might start to get to my head a little bit. We don't want that. So I appreciate it, and I will treasure this last moment as a guest. From now on, you can just treat me like one of your own, all right? It is really exciting, though, for me to be able to come in and to share the vision that I have for the congregation here, and to really to be a part of what's going on here in Lima. Starting in verse 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The mission of the church is to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. You can look that up in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. But ultimately, as a church, why we're here is to fulfill this great commission that we just read about. Go, make disciples, immerse, and continue to teach those disciples. That's all of us. Each and every Christian has a responsibility towards evangelism. To get the message out. The gospel that is needed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through about 20 or 21 says, "God has made you ministers of reconciliation." There is a world that has been separated by their own sins from God. And God wants us to help make them reconciled back to Him. It's what we're there as those who have already been reconciled. That's what we're here to do. To go make disciples, to immerse and continue to teach those disciples. You know, Jesus is laying out the pattern pretty clearly for us. He doesn't say, you know, invite them to church and have these awesome, great programs where you show them how awesome and great you are, and they want to be more awesome and great just like you because you put on the entertainment that they really appreciate it. He said, no, you go and get involved in other people's lives. And as you go and get involved in other people's lives, you are going to make some disciples because they're going to see Jesus lived out inside of you. You make those disciples. And making the disciple comes before we get them to the point of getting them immersed. Certainly, their first step into Christianity. So we're teaching them first, right? They got to know what they're being immersed into and why they're being immersed. And then it's the responsibility of the discipler and the church as a whole to continue to teach those disciples. So as the men asked me to share a vision, that's where it's got to start. It has got to start with evangelism, because that's why we're here. We're here to get the message out, to be those who are ministers or servants of reconciliation. Let's go ahead and head over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, these things truly are universal. The early church participating in evangelism. You can see that throughout the history book there in the book of Acts, and then as Paul goes on his journeys and throughout the New Testament, you see them being evangelistic. You see them going and making disciples. And you see that as time goes on throughout the first century church and today. The mission of the church doesn't vary from one congregation to another. It doesn't change. Our mission as a church universal and individual congregations as a part of that is to seek and to save the lost, to go, make disciples, immerse, and continue to teach those disciples. And we want to be as effective as we possibly can be in doing that. It was read earlier this morning. Reese read it, okay, the first, about 7 or 8, I think he read the first 8 verses there of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just gonna take out verse 2 here. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Again, we can't really help people if we're lying. The only way that we can help people is if we are those who are spreading the word of reconciliation. If we tell them the wrong path of reconciliation, they're not going to be reconciled. It's not helpful. It's not loving. It might sound nice, right? But it's not really reconciling. It's not really doing that job. We want to be those who are loving, because love and truth go together hand in hand. If you really love somebody, you love their eternity. Because the right now is just, what is the next 70 years, right? 80 years, 90. In scope of eternity, you love somebody, care about where that eternity is going to end up. We want to make sure that as many of the people who we are associated with, as many people as we're friends and family with, as many people we care about, they make it with us to heaven. And we're interested in helping our friends and our family get there. And the way that we're going to be effective in that is by duplication. If you turn just probably a page or two back in your scriptures to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I should pay attention to when I came up here. You don't know what the first taste in everybody's mouth. That guy goes on and on and on, never going back there. So I did take note of the time, and here we go. So 2 Timothy chapter 2. I greet the people in Wasion out sometimes. I'll go for about 25 minutes, and I say, and point number 2 is, can you see this sheer look of, usually my first point's my longest point, so just, kind of a guide to knowing me. If my first point, if it's been 25 minutes, you can guarantee that my next couple points will be short. I still am on point number 1. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Ultimately, we're looking for duplication. We're looking to be able to put people in a position that they are able to make disciples just as we have made disciples. Heard an evangelist named Larry Gold say one time, you haven't really made a disciple until your disciple has made a disciple. I think there's a lot of validity to that. Are you discipling someone to the point that they are ready and able to also disciple other people? Because we're interested in duplication. We're not interested in reinventing the wheel. Okay? We're not interested in fitting everybody into a specific mold either. Right? Don't hear me saying that. We're looking to put people in a position where they can be effective as possible as quickly as possible. Because there are 7 billion people out there. And those just become numbers, right? Like you say, you talk about, you put a name to it. Me and Brent were talking about this last night. I really like basketball. I really, really enjoy basketball. I refereed for a while. I played a little bit in high school. I really enjoy basketball. One of the things when I'm watching basketball that I'm actually not very good at as a fan, if you will, is in teams that I don't know, I don't really recognize individual players. I see this team, and I can kind of see what they're trying to do strategically and that sort of thing, but individual players have a hard time standing out to people. Now, on my team, I tell you all about the individual players because I know their names. Right? A lot of times we see the world and we just see this blob of 7 billion, but when we're involved in somebody's life individually, all of a sudden that soul becomes a whole lot more important to us because we're invested in them. We care about their eternity. So there are 7 billion people who people love, who care about, mothers, fathers, children, okay, that need to hear the gospel. We need to know their name. And so it is a high priority to us to really be able to duplicate. How quickly can we put somebody in a position that they will be able to then spread that good news, glad message? I was reading in Rotherham yesterday and talking about gospel, right? It's a glad message. That's exciting. You don't have to stay in your sins. All of the brokenness and the things that this world gives to people, we have the answers. Jesus leads to an abundant life here and now. Spiritual freedom. And not to mention the eternal hope of heaven. I mean, is that exciting? That's pretty exciting. And we have that message that we can share with other people. So we want to put people in a position where we can really duplicate. Okay? How can we make sure that we are being as effective as possible as quickly as possible? And each member has a specific role in that. Let's go ahead and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Spiritual gifts and how those spiritual gifts are given in the body and how each one of those has a function. But the greater context of that, okay, is that the body is, God has set up the body in such a way, in the way that He has designed it. And so each member does have a role. So ultimately, it is within context. Don't pick up your stones, okay? I understand the direct context, but there's a greater point that is also being made. Okay? Each member has a function and has a role to play. Okay? You have a role to play. Now, I'm excited because some of you have known me for a really long time. Some of you are just now getting to know me, right? Maybe we haven't even been introduced yet. And so I'm excited because I don't know exactly what role you play. You do, right? Or maybe you're still learning what role you have to play. But what God's desire is for his body is that we are each fulfilling our role no matter what it is. That's how the body is going to be most effective. You don't need to be like me. Okay? Maybe that's not your role. And I don't need to be like you. And maybe you don't see your role the same as Andy's role. Or Bob's role. Or Mel's role. Or name a lot of people. Sue's, whoever in the congregation. Maybe that's not your role. And that's fine. The point is, find where you can be effective within the congregation and within the world at large so that you can so that you can really be that minister of reconciliation. There's a gentleman within the congregation back in Wauseon, and he's not to the point where, and he's, let me say that a little bit differently. The guy is a contact getter. Okay? He is a contact getter. Now, he's not real comfortable leading the study. That's great. Because you know what? He gets me contacts. He makes the introduction. He sits down with us, and we talk. Right? And I'm being introduced to all sorts of people who I didn't know any of these people. These are his contacts. Right? And so he is doing his role by making the introduction and by talking to people. He's doing his role. It's not anything less than because he's not leading the study. Who's to say that I could have got those contacts? But he is, and he's doing his role. So whatever your role is within the body, and I'm excited. Brennan and I are planning on hopefully sitting down with each family individually and each person and getting to know you a little bit better, having you get to know us a little bit better. You know, maybe we can reminisce about stories when I was running around here when I was 12 or 13, and I'll try and avoid those stories as much as I possibly can. Or, you know, maybe I'll be learning your kids' names. But I'm really excited to have that opportunity to see how we can all work together to be able to be as effective in this part of Ohio for Jesus Christ as possible. Because the spiritual revolution is big. Spiritual revolution isn't just Lima, isn't just Wauseon, isn't just Connersville, isn't just Lancaster, isn't just Bellevue, isn't just the plethora of churches I can name in Montana or Oregon or wherever else. It's a lot bigger than that. But it's going to take all of us doing our part in being ministers of reconciliation to get the job done. And that's what we're really interested in. And we're going to do that through having a faith culture. And the point number two for people keeping track. Now the thing about this is I'll tell you about my points, but I was not Bible college trained, okay? You certainly have no idea how many points I have. So it really doesn't do you any good, but you know, in case you're taking notes or whatever, this is point number two, okay? We're going to have a faith culture. It's going to be a faith culture. God's Spirit is able. God's Spirit proved that he was able through Jesus in the flesh. Jesus was made just as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews tells us that he gave us the example so that we should follow in his steps. And Jesus' Spirit proved that he was able, okay, to do all things. He was able to live a sinless life. Okay, he was able to live out and be exactly what the world needed. Now, that's the Spirit that is given to us when we're immersed into Jesus Christ. And we know that the Spirit produces fruit. And so we want to really cultivate a fertile environment for that growth. See, those of us who have come into Christ, a lot of times we can come in with some pretty nasty habits, right? And it would have been, you know, from a fleshly perspective, okay, it would have been really nice if, along with being made a completely new creature, that those habits would have all gone away too, right? Like, I don't have to face the consequences of all of my, you know, priors. Like, that would have been really cool just from a fleshly perspective. I don't have to work at this thing. Right? But the great thing is there's a sense in which I don't have to worry. All I got to do is my part renewing my mind. And the Spirit automatically produces His fruit within me. If we look at Galatians 5, 22 through 24 or so, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, right? Well, that's what the Spirit is producing. So all that I have to do, all that I need to do, is to renew my mind. And as I renew my mind, hey, we fill that thing up with good stuff. Guess what happens to the bad stuff? It goes away. Those bad habits leave because we are being filled with the Spirit. We have the Spirit. The outgrowth of the Spirit within our lives produces godly character, produces Jesus in us, just as we saw when Jesus walked the earth. But that doesn't happen by trying harder. It doesn't happen by just willpower. It happens by the power of Jesus Christ. All we have to do, okay, is be a participant in. If we're a participant in, it's automatic. You don't have to worry about the results. I don't have to worry about the results. Because God is faithful. And if God is faithful, what we get is His fruit. He guarantees the growth. So I don't have to worry about the growth part. Hey, all I have to worry about is the part that I control, which is the renewing of my mind. So I really want to emphasize having a faith culture, because then we're not participating in evangelism because I have to. Right? Participating in evangelism because I love those 7 million people. See, otherwise, it's like you get yourself caught up in some sort of works-based salvation. Well, you know, God told me to do this, and I really don't want to burn in the fires of hell, so I better tell my neighbor. They're really going to see that love, aren't they? you're trying to save your own hide. So I better tell my neighbor that Jesus loves him, or he's going to fry me. That's not going to produce the type of love that is going to be revolutionary and that the world needs. That's not what that's going to produce. But if we are really learning and living by faith, what that produces is the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 15 kind of talk about how, you know, we started with the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and then, you know, He appointed some as evangelists and pastors and teachers, and we go on from there. But what that's really talking about in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We're looking to attain to the unity of the faith of Christ. There's a system that is taught within the New Testament about the New Covenant. It's called the faith of Christ. Okay? And that's what we're working for, is the faith of Christ. Okay? Not just faith in Christ, but His system, which is a faith culture. And that's what I really appreciate about the foundation that is really here in this congregation. I'm aware of the fact that a lot of these concepts are not new, right? A lot of people have put in a lot of work over a long period of time to make sure that you're sitting where you're sitting right now. And we need to be aware of that and appreciative of that. But we want to make sure that we take that next step so that our kids and our grandkids and their grandkids, that they have something even greater to move forward. It's a responsibility that we have. And having that faith culture, okay, is really going to establish a foundation where this is somewhere where they want to be. This is somewhere that they're interested in. They know that they're accepted, and they know that this is where Jesus is really seen. This is where Jesus is going to be at. And so we want to apply the law of liberty to become effective doers in our everyday lives. James 1, verse 25 talks about the law of liberty. That's where we're at. That's what we're living under. That's what it's about to be part of the faith of Christ, is to live under the law of liberty. We don't have a bunch of do's and don'ts, okay, in the New Testament. You know, God created the perfect law. You know what was wrong with that law? People couldn't. Did God know that the people wouldn't be able to keep it? Now, there wasn't anything wrong with the law, except for the fact that there was no way that it was going to be able to be implemented in the people's lives. So, a lot of times, what we've seen people do in various churches of Christ, and what they try to do is they try to substitute one set of Old Testament laws for a new set of New Testament laws, right? They just God upgraded the language, right? So now we have these New Testament laws, and you really got to be concerned with keeping the New Testament laws, and really, I mean, law of liberty is just another name for those New Testament laws. Guys, throw that garbage out, okay? Because God has set up an entirely new system that is empowered by His Spirit that produces fruit, okay, that is implementable in our lives, and He calls that system the faith of Christ, or the law of liberty. But it is not a system that has to do with us keeping a bunch of do's and don'ts. Okay? So we want to implement a faith culture in everything. That's what we're doing in our individual lives, right? Renewing our minds, living by faith, walking by faith. See, it's a lot easier to justify ourselves when we're living by law. Man, because that can look good to some people on the outside for a while. That always crumbles. So, if I'm looking to justify myself, well, man, the law can be pretty attractive. But, what power did you have to save yourself? Without Jesus' blood, not one of us have any chance. Well, again, why would we start by faith and then justify ourselves by the work of the law? Did Peter get in a little bit of trouble for that? In fact, didn't Paul tell him that he stood condemned? The great apostle Peter? Because he was looking to be justified by works. Again, we want to make sure that we're living and that we're walking by faith in Jesus Christ. Point number three. Okay? Put that down in your notes. We want to talk just a little bit this morning about how Christ Church is worldwide. Christ Church is a lot bigger than each one of our local congregations. Now, each local congregation has an absolutely pivotal role to play. We need one another. And we need to be encouraged by one another. And we need the assembly of the saints. We certainly need to participate in the Lord's Supper together. And we need the encouragement that comes as Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 talk about. Okay, we need that encouragement to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We need one another in that body has to function rightly and appropriately. But we have an opportunity to really work together within the different churches that are on board with the new creation, that are on board with the gospel of glory. We have an opportunity to be able to work together and to show to the world the unity that Christ's body really should demonstrate. Kind of interesting, one of the young ladies in our congregation, she's in her senior year of college. And so she's actually living with Brenna and I right now, and she is, she's in the last semester of the the senior year of college. So it's a good little transition, you know, getting out of the parents' house and, you know, she's not going to fall on her face, right? Because we've got a landing pad. She's not going to starve. She's going to have a roof over her head. But she's learning, right? Well, she's job searching right now. You know, one of the things I really appreciate about what she's doing is she said, okay, tell me where all the new creation churches are. Because she's looking at, okay, where can I put in applications, right? Where can I send my resume to? I'm interested in that. Now, guys, the more unity, the more fellowship that we have, the more opportunity that we have for opportunities that there are for people like this young lady. See, it's not about what can I personally benefit from her being a Christian. Again, it's about love, right? It's about her soul. And so she's interested in bringing momentum to the Lord's body as a whole. Do I really care if that's in Wauseon, or Lima, or Connersville, or... No. It doesn't matter. One iota of difference. Because I know that she wants to plug into the Lord's body, and that the Lord's body is going to benefit by her perspective there. And so, hey, that's where we're going. Because this spiritual revolution is a lot bigger than one place, and the world needs the gospel. We have a great blessing. This area has a tremendous blessing. There are a lot of new creation churches within a small radius. That's a tremendous blessing. You know, she was looking at it, and it looks like, she's like, I would only be 45 minutes away from Connersville. I'm like, that's awesome. That would be fantastic. She's like, and then I'd only be 3 hours away from Wauseon. Okay, awesome. You know, hey, that's exciting. You know, we need to make the most of that blessing that God has given to us. You know, and really see that God's kingdom as a whole, okay, is worth investing into no matter where it's at. And I've been really encouraged by, they have a Bible Bowl out in Montana, and there's a couple of congregations I want to tell you about just briefly. There's a brand new congregation in Williston, North Dakota. 7 years ago or so, it wasn't there. Okay, maybe even less, maybe 5 years ago, it wasn't there. But because the people who are in Williston now have seen duplicatable systems and know about the importance of the gospel of glory. Okay, 3 or 4 families ended up in Williston. And you know what? There's congregation, new creation congregation, in Williston, North Dakota right now. Because they knew about duplicatable systems. Okay, they cared about getting the gospel to the people in Williston, North Dakota. So, job taken to Williston, North Dakota, what do? Well, we set up a congregation. We don't just plug into whatever local Church of Christ is doing, right? No, we're going to start a congregation. It's going to be focused on the gospel of the Lord. You know what else they did? Started a Christian school. Okay? Well, our kids are going to be involved in Christian education. And so, it was pretty interesting because Williston is probably about, I don't know, I'm not great with this, but probably about 8 hours from Bozeman. Okay? You know what? Their kids took second in the Bible Bowl. Bible Bowl is a one-day event, right, that, hey, we trekked from Williston, North Dakota to Bozeman, Montana for one day, and they get to be around a whole bunch of other kids, right, that are caring about the gospel, that have memorized all of those chapters and Acts together, right? And they get to see, their kids get to see, wow, this is a lot bigger than just our 4 families that are in Williston. Those are the people that those kids are going to have friendships with that last their entire lives. Those are the kids that they're going to end up marrying. Okay? But if they're not associated with the other churches, if they're not willing to make that sacrifice, they'll find other friends in the world. They'll find other people to marry. So we have an opportunity to have a lot of unity between the new creation churches and to grow the relationships to the purpose of unity and the purpose to really get work done. You know, it's not just about enjoying fellowship. Fellowship is great, and I enjoy it. Yeah. But it's about getting work done. How can we be more effective together? So we want to maximize that. And we want to continue to train and equip revolutionary families. See, the Spirit works within us and transforms us into the very image of Jesus Christ. Not just so that we have great character. That's a byproduct, and that's important. But it's not just so that, hey, my character, just like Jesus, right? It is for the purpose of being able to participate in spiritual warfare. Because only people with Jesus' character are going to be effective in spiritual warfare. So it's bigger than just my character is better. It's just an upgrade in character. That's a necessary step so that I can participate in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 talks about that. I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm just going to pull one verse out of that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, the new creation churches work together so that we can all be winning this war. We are in a battle. And we need each other to win that battle. We need all the brothers and all the sisters that we possibly can have so that we win the battle. Point number four. We want to make sure that we have solid biblical foundations. Okay, we're looking to be revolutionary. You know, there's a lot of people, especially, you know, Northern Ohio here, you know, you get a lot of people that are making a track to some building on Sunday morning. It makes no difference the rest of that day and certainly not the other 6 days of the week. It's what I do to salve my conscience. Put in my Jesus time, and then after I put in my Jesus time, then I get to have my time the rest of the week, right? That's kind of thought. You work with those people. Right? And then there's the other side of the spectrum that, like, it's kind of the law side, right? Make sure that I'm looking just right for Sunday morning. Make sure that everybody knows how holy I am. And, you know, really, in reality, in their closets, in their bedrooms, when they're interacting with their family, it doesn't make much of a difference either. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we're cleansing the inside of them. Make sure that we're allowing the Spirit to work within us, show us His power, and as He works within us, that there's a natural outgrowth of having the inside of the cup cleansed. And you know what? Then the outside of the cup gets cleansed too. I'm not really concerned about when or how that happens. We're concerned about what's going on inside my heart, what's going on inside my mind. So what we're really looking to do is have revolutionary families. Not just good, nice kids, nice mom, nice dad, nice families. That's all right. We want spiritual revolutionaries. We want people who are interested in taking the world. And you're going to have solid biblical foundations to create that kind of success. And there's different ways to be able to accomplish that. You know, Brenna and I are really committed to educational ministry. Christian school in Wauseon had gone away, right? Well, what do we do? Hey, we need to have a Christian school in Wauseon. You know how many kids we have right now? Is that one soul worth it? Yep, it is. One soul worth it. Okay? So there's a lot of different ways to show our families what we're interested in. Okay? A lot of different ways to show that we're revolutionaries, but ultimately, we're not just looking to be nice church pew sitters. Okay, we're looking to be spiritual revolutionaries that are ready to execute Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Okay, and within that comes all sorts of opportunities for personal growth for you and I. Colossians 1:28. Personal growth for you and I. Lots of opportunities for that. So, I'm excited. I'm excited to be partnering with you guys to be able to set a direction, to be able to go after, to be as effective as possible, so that we can show the generations after us this is how it's done. Come stand on our shoulders. We want to stand on the shoulders of those that went before. We want to take it to the next level. You know what? We want for those who come after us to take it to the next level. Because this is all about King Jesus, and King Jesus getting the glory in all things. We are here to be those ministers of reconciliation and to execute his warfare. Let's turn to Ezekiel 37. And I will close with this. So I have 4 points for anybody who's trying. Ezekiel 37. I'm just going to read the first 14 verses, and then Dave, you can go ahead and come up and close this out. You know, I looked at my notes here, and completely off topic because it wasn't in order in my notes. One of the things that, as you get to know me, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is that Wednesday after April 23rd, I'll have office hours every Wednesday from about 5:30. Until assembly starts that Wednesday night. So me and Brett are going to go. We're going to set up, times to get to know each family individually. But if you want to come get to know me before that, feel free to stop by, talk my ear off, and we can kind of look at some vision and look at some things. And if you need anything at all, maybe I'll have Jeremy run my phone number in the bulletin, that sort of thing, if you don't have it. And I hope I get the chance to meet some of you this morning that I haven't met, and get to know you better, get involved in your lives, and I'll look forward to really getting the spiritual revolution going and rolling to an even greater degree wherever we're at. So that's probably out of order in this whole sermon, but I told you I wasn't Bible college educated, and I'm proud of it. Okay? And so Ezekiel 37, and we'll read verses 1 through 14, and then Dave, you'll come up. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones, and caused me to pass among them, round about. And behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, so that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came to them. And they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, and caused you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and will come to life. And I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. We are a mighty resurrected army.